Sure, you were referring to the women's movement and their part in the whole anti-conscription process. Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Sure. Actually, the women's movement was so central to the anti-conscription movement right from the start. Betty Goldstein, of course, through her Women's Political Association, was the forefront with Cecilia John and a whole lot of others in that group. And they were very clear and strident in their position of anti-war and anti-conscription. So, you know, they held rallies daily, multiple times each day, around this great city. And, you know, coming back to your earlier question about what was it like, you couldn't escape the Women's Political Association. And then soon after that, when they formed the Women's Peace Army as well, they're really the engine room behind a lot of the activity. Women also in the socialist movement, in the Victorian Socialist Party, they formed anti-conscription committees and they worked together with Vida Goldstein and her organisation to really, pamphleteer, speak publicly at rallies and push forward this position that the war should end. It was not Australia's war. It was a capitalist war. It was not a war that mothers should support. And you know, again, they were very pro negotiated peace and wanted peace as soon as possible. They become central in the war, during the whole war period, actually. And as we know, Betty Goldstein ran for the Senate on that ticket as well. So, you know, she became quite central in politicising the arguments and giving them a profile and, you know, raising funds for the campaign.
Marvellous eloquence.
Yeah, great speaker.
Great speaker.
And the Free Religious Fellowship of Frederick Sinclair was also central, and the Blackburns, but also Goldstein and Cecilia John were very active. Like they're all, I mean,
and Melbourne, there was this home, they'd organised these home gatherings to sort of go out into people's homes. I mean, that was part of Vida Goldstein's basic campaigning technique. So you go out into people's homes and you hold little meetings and you drink cups of tea and discuss why you need to oppose conscription and why you need to oppose the war. And so gather people in a more private context.
She did. And I suppose, I mean, remember Melbourne's quite a small city at this point. And all those opposed to conscription knew each other and they worked very closely together. It was quite an alliance of
so pacifists. The women in the labour movement were all connected, and some of them were actually standing up down at the Speaker's Corner and taking the rotten eggs as well. And I don't know whether you want to talk, there was this amazing women's march in the week before the 1916 referendum vote, which was that was huge. It was absolutely enormous, with a woman on a horse at the front,
and a
kind of demonstration. Actually, I'm not sure that the pro-conscriptionists ever managed anything like as
well. Oh, they did.
Did they? I was just trying to think.
I'm afraid they did, Caroline. I mean, in 1916, if I recall, Billy Hughes spoke to probably 100,000 people at the MCG.
Yes, he probably did. That's right.
Well, it was the MCG event, and that was a very, very big event. It was a very pro-conscription rally. But also women, of course, were at the forefront of physical attacks by returned soldiers.
Yes.
And so when women and anti-conscriptionist women would get up and speak,
they would be attacked by them.
There was quite violent attacks by the men, and they, you know, push them off stage and they'd push them around, they'd throw chairs and so on. So, you know, they became the subject of quite violent abuse and violent attack during as the conscription campaigns became more intense. So, you know, women really were putting themselves out there because they could be subject to that.
To some extent, I think they were probably subject to more physical violence than the men speakers. I mean, hardly anybody threw anything at Morris, despite the fact that he was putting exactly the same arguments. Neither John Curtin nor Maurice Blackburn got a lot of physical attack, personally, but quite a lot of those women did.
The women did. I mean, I think you look at the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW and Tom Barker and some of those speakers, they probably got a bit more involved in the physicality of it.
Yeah.
But certainly for women, it was quite a dangerous undertaking, actually, by the end of the 17 conscription campaign, which by then had become very, very, very intense. So you've got women active, but they're putting themselves out there and, you know, subject to that attack.